everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Frangimini, going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle and beyond. Today, I'm going to say it is this week and beyond because I have TJ Wari, who's going to be part of a big show next week. So we'll get into that. And of course, Josh Wolf is our headliner this week. I talked to Josh today. Today, as I'm saying this, I have just gotten off the phone with Josh Wolf. Anyway, let's tell you what's going on this week. Come on now. As I'm recording this Tuesday, the 18th of November, 2025, Detroit to LA semifinals begin tonight at 7:30 p.m. We got a lineup of folks. They all won the first round. They all move forward. And now here they are performing for you in the second round of the Detroit to LA Comedy Challenge. There's more rounds to come. One more round to come. I think we're going to move about half of the people on from tonight to the finals. So get out there tonight, semifinals, 7:30 p.m. That's Tuesday night. Wednesday, the 19th, David Nihel returns. David is an Irish comedian who tells a lot of stories about his life that are interesting, funny. Really did a great show the last time he was at the club. He's been there a couple times, but I remember the last one really being just one of the more satisfying shows you'll see. I don't want to give away what he does, but he has a nice satisfying wrap up to all of his stories at the end that I thought was innovative and super cool. So David is there Wednesday the 19th. Again, 7:30 p.m. show. If you want to come see David Nihel, look him up. All Irish folk come out. That's the one people come out with. Irish people. That's his audience. They support him. He's got a lovely audience. And we're looking at the tickets. Yeah, the tickets are going. Few left. Not sold out. It's a Wednesday night, and this guy's selling tickets. That's awesome, David. So it's great to have him back. And this weekend, Josh Wolf, the Campfire Tour. He's got five shows over the weekend. Thursday, the 20th, Josh Wolf is at 7:30 p.m., the Friday shows on the 21st of November, 7:15 and 9:45. 7 p.m. and 9:30 are the tickets on Saturday, November 22nd for Josh Wolf. You'll hear him talk about this in the interview, but there are different tiers of pricing for Josh's shows. So you can get tickets all the way as cheap as $25 if you want to come see Josh Wolf. If you don't know Josh, he was a regular on Chelsea Lately, doing the roundtables with Chelsea and that crew of comedians, Whitney Cummings, John Caparulo, and those folks. And really got on to a fun stand-up career where he plays a lot of music. He'll tell you about the show. He'll tell you about his latest special and how this tour differs from that. But his son performs with him. His son Jacob will be opening these shows. So that's always fun. I think they're going to do a little bit together on stage as well, Jacob and Josh. And it's really a great show. You'll hear everything in this interview when we talk about what he does. And it's great. Even the Late Show Friday, which is a special Late Show Friday with Josh. And you can find out all about that by listening to our interview. We'll get to that in a second here with Josh Wolf. And then TJ Wari and I are going to talk. TJ's been with us before. And we talked then. That was Dream Cruise weekend, I believe, last year. But he is back he's now a part of the Urbana, Illinois comedy scene. They have a scene, believe it or not. We'll talk about his dog suffering an unfortunate injury lately. We'll talk about how we met. It's a story we told before, but there's still some funny stuff in there. And then TJ is going to talk about he wants all of Clausen to show up. That's right. And Oshay, I should plug that. When is TJ appearing? Yeah, TJ is appearing a week from Wednesday, the 26th of November. He's closing out the night before Thanksgiving comedy special. Marcus O'Lind will be part of that show, who's a great act. One of my former students who's really been working hard down in Austin, Texas, and he'll be with you that night too. So it's going to be a great show on the night before Thanksgiving. If you got, hey, it's a huge bar night. People go out. They don't have to work the next day. So we got a special Wednesday night before Thanksgiving on the 26th. So, again, Josh Wolf, we're going to start with him. I don't know if we talked about anything else I should plug here with Josh. I think we'll just let it fly. But great interview. You'll hear that my former girlfriend, current wife, is a big fan of Josh Wolf, and he was very kind to her when he was here last time. So he's a super great dude to talk to. So kind, cares about his fans, cares about his family. Here's Josh Wolf. We'll just go right from Josh Wolf into TJ Wari, and I'll join you after this. We got about an hour of stuff here, but they're fun interviews. You guys will dig these, all right? Here's Josh Wolf, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it's a pleasure to welcome back to this show and welcome back to the Comedy Castle, Josh Wolf. How you doing today, Josh?
What's going on, dude? How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. It's good to have you back at the club. It's been 2.5 years, my records indicate.
It has been. Yeah. It was such a great weekend.
It was.
All sold out shows, absolutely. 5 of them.
Yeah.
This time, my son, who was opening for me at the time, but probably shouldn't have been, actually has jokes. All so right. It's going to be it's going to be a brand new one.
All right. That was good. I remember your son last night. He did a good job. I don't know.
He did a great job.
Yeah, he's all right. Now, being your son, the bar must be high, because if this is just some young guy opening for you, you might, may not be as hard on him. Am I right about that? Or
It's a weird mix. Honestly, for me, at this point in my career, you don't have to be funny opening up for me.
Okay.
How you do has nothing to do with how I'm going to do.
Well, I think for most, talented headliners, people that are selling tickets to see them, that's exactly the case. I completely agree.
It doesn't matter. Nope. Honestly, nope. Are you annoying in the green room? If you are, you're not getting booked again. That's it. That's the whole ask any headliner. If you're annoying in the green room, you're never getting booked again.
You're done.
Now, my son, not annoying in the green room.
Oh, nice.
So, okay. But I don't encourage him to bomb, but I encourage him to take chances.
Okay.
Because he is unfireable. Mm-hmm. And so, right?
Yeah,
so
he'll be your son regardless of how it goes.
Fuck yeah. So he has like this green light that a lot of younger comics are nervous about not doing well, which should give him a ton of freedom to try things and experiment. And so, it's still, nobody got into this business because we feel good about ourselves.
Yeah.
So we're all kind of whores for their life. But when you get a little older and you realize, man, I know that laugh is there. Mm-hmm. So let me take a punch in the face and try this joke.
Yeah, that's nice. That's good that you give him that freedom to say, go ahead and don't do well tonight, or however you want to look at it. Yeah, just
and plus,
take a chance.
I don't have to pay him as much, which is the big because if I'm cheap with other comics, they'll spread it around. Who's he gonna tell?
All right, but is he? Let me ask you this now. Not just being your opening act, is he out there spreading his wings a little bit and getting some stage time on his own and with other folks?
Well, not with other folks, because he's with me all the time.
Okay,
you know what I mean. And he gets so much stage time. So I do a residency on Monday nights here.
Okay, what's that at? So
it's at Kimmel's.
Okay,
nice. Right. So I do my residency here. He does that.
Yeah.
And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
He opens, so he gets that time. And then I bring him on stage with me at the end and we mess around together. So he gets so much stage time. Really, the only two nights he has off are Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. And we travel a lot on Wednesdays.
Wow, okay. Yeah.
So right now it's basically with me. But as I get older and start to trail off, he knows that he's going to have to put his big boy pants on.
Well, that he could definitely do very well for himself with all that experience he had. And hopefully that's the case. I talked to a guy, how long ago on this show? A famous guy who his dad never encouraged him to do comedy. And I felt a little bit of bitterness from that guy that, and his dad's gone now. And he's like, my dad was this famous guy and he didn't really want me doing stand-up.
I neither encouraged him nor discouraged him. First time he ever got on stage, we were in Minneapolis.
Okay.
And I would have him come on the road with me just to hang out, and he would sell merch. Mm-hmm. And because so many of my stories at the time were about him, people treated him like, you know, part of the show, and they wanted pictures with him. And so one night in Minneapolis, I was like, let's do a Q&A, dude.
Okay.
People have so many questions. They ask you all these questions in line about the stories I tell about you. Let's do a Q&A. Yes. And it crushed. Rushed it, because the people who came felt rewarded, and they got to ask him all these questions, and they could ask him questions about me and all that shit, right? Fast forward, we were in Austin maybe a year and a half later, and about 5 minutes before the show, I said to him, hey, I didn't want to freak you out, but you're emceeing this weekend. And he was like, what? And I said, so get your 10 minutes together, you're about to do it. And so and the reason I did that to him is so he didn't freak himself out all week. And he was like, what am I going to do? And I said, dude, I've been telling stories about you for a decade. Go tell a story about me. And he did. And man, look, honestly, first time on stage, what are you going to do?
Right.
But it was an entertaining story. And since that time, he's just been going up and crushing. Nice. Like really, really good. Really, really good.
Right.
So. Somebody asked me, are you scared he's going to be funnier than you? Yo, I hope he is.
Yeah.
I need somebody to have money when I'm older so they can take care of me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you have kids?
I don't have kids.
I'm constantly trying to decide which one of my three kids is going to be in line to wipe my ass when I get older. Cause I know not all three of them are going to want to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So, but yeah, man, I'm excited to head back to Royal Oak.
Yeah,
and it's such a weird time in comedy, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
It's the first time that I can remember, and it was only a matter of time, where, you know, comics started chirping at each other. It was so kumbaya for so long.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're at a time now where everyone's chirping at each other and what's comedy and what's not comedy. And you don't do real comedy and all that. And it's so fucking stupid. All of it.
Yeah. Well,
all of it's all stupid, dude. It's all stupid because the bottom line is art, right?
Right.
And, there's something for everyone. So it's not for your fans. Cool. Sure, it's not for you. Cool. Yeah. But you know who thinks fart jokes are funny? Me.
Yeah. And there's enough people that maybe weren't going to comedy clubs that to bring in people because you're on TikTok or because you're something that maybe traditional comics might look down their nose at. Yeah. Bring everyone out.
Here's the deal. Yeah. At one point, somebody who was playing classical music was like, wait, they're putting lyrics to music now? That's so stupid, right?
Yeah.
Art changes as people change. Thank God, not all music sounds like Buddy Holly now, right?
Right.
Because it evolves as people evolve. It's not just Hank Williams doing country. Now there's black dudes doing country rap.
Yeah. Right.
Because people and art evolves. So to be this person who's like, this is what stand-up comedy is, good. Then do it like Bob Hope did it. Oh, you don't?
Yeah.
Because it evolves, you fuck. Yeah. So if he wants to do crowd work, if that's what 30,000 people want to come see in one night, shut the fuck up about it and do your little dance.
Right.
Yeah. Man, here's the thing, you know, somebody said something to me about your comedy's still so, this is the word they used, everyman. That was a negative. And I was like, no, dude, this is who I am. I tell you relatable things. And someone was like, well, I'm telling a story right now where I was really sick for like 35 days.
Okay.
And I was in the hospital and I had two nasty bacterial gut infections at the same time. And you know, I'm talking about being on the road with Jacob and how great it is, but how also the negative is I don't get to hide. I'm not Superman anymore. He really sees me as human because we're together all the time, you know? And so I tell the story about when the stomach stuff hit, I got caught in an elevator. Basically with the stomach stuff, it was like within 2 minutes I needed to be at a toilet or I was, right?
Yeah.
So I'm telling the story about getting in an elevator at floor 1, having to go to floor 9, and people keep getting on the elevator and me, right?
Yeah.
Now, I had somebody be like, dude, you're too old to be telling those stories about blah, blah, blah. And my thing is like, look, man, I tell relatable stories about my life. So people who go to work every day and wake up and be like, yeah, dude, but the thing about my demo is it's 18 to 70. Mm-hmm. It's across the board because I'm talking about things, my life in relatable, silly ways. Listen, I say all the time, if you are coming to a show to learn something, you've come to the wrong show.
Yeah. You know,
they turn your brain off. I'm going to make fun of people. I make fun of a lot of different people, but I do it in a very arms wide open way. So like the point is, don't poo-poo on what somebody else is doing because you don't do it.
Yeah.
Your fans, look, Patton Oswalt fans would hate my show. Okay. Hate it.
Yeah.
But cool, because Patton is one of the best doing it and one of the best joke writers our art has ever seen. Mm-hmm. Good. You know? But so like, yeah, man, people come to my show. It's just a straight up ride.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a ride. Is. Yeah, dude, that's what it is. It's for people to come, turn their brain off, have fun, laugh with each other. And I right now, my show is all wheels are on the tracks. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so good right now. Nice. I'm so happy with what happens good. Every night.
That's wonderful, man. Yeah, your weekend two years ago, sold out every show. Amazing. Yep. You were so kind to the fans. I got to give you credit on that one. Because I see all sides of that. But you were very kind. My girlfriend at the time was a big fan of yours, and you said, bring her into the green room to say hi.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that.
Yeah. And I have to say now, she is no longer my girlfriend. She is now my wife. So there.
Congratulations, so dude.
Thank you. So, but she's a big fan of yours.
By the way, you're welcome. I'm sure that sealed the deal.
I'm sure. Like, hey, you got me to meet Josh Wolf. Let's go. Keep this train going. You might see her this weekend. So there you go. But
I hope so, dude.
Yeah, but she was like super fan, brought out all her friends and just had the best time. And
well, listen, this, it's even more of a show now.
Okay.
Because... you know, I've really leaned into, for a long time, I was so, not nervous, but look, you know, it's a small little click comedy. And I was like, oh, if I bring out the guitar, people are going to blah, blah. And now I don't give a fuck what other people think. And dude, the guitar is so, it's the last 15, 20 minutes of the show. You hear my dog?
Okay. No, I don't.
It's the last 15, 20 minutes of the show. And it is... so funny, dude. And I don't do songs like Sandler or Weird Al.
Okay.
I don't write full songs. My songs are just 18-second punchlines with music. Mm. That's it.
Yeah.
And it's different than anyone else has done it. And it, like I said, dude, it's such a show. Jacob does his, I do mine. He and I do it together. Then we go to music. It's like you're resetting the room and the energy every 25 minutes. And it is it's a fucking blast, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Truly.
Wonderful, man. Sounds great. And also your generosity to the fans. I don't want to guarantee anything. I don't want people to come for this reason, but you gave the guitar away that you used last weekend at the club. I remember that.
I did give the guitar away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I want the, not only do I want the show to be an experience, but I want, you know, the people who are coming. I do free meet and greets. I want the people who are coming to know how much I appreciate. It's not lost on me that they leave their house.
Yeah.
I also have made sure, look, I can't do it for every seat in the house, but I'm taking pay cuts across the board just to make sure that there are $25 tickets available at all my shows.
Uh-huh. Yep. You'll see that on our website. If you go comedycastle.com, you'll see that you can pick a $25 seat if you want to get in. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember being a single parent and not being able to go out and do shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a real bummer. And so I understand the people are hurting now. And I remember hurting. And I just want to alleviate a little bit if I can, you know?
That's nice. It's a great show. I am saying this as someone who's seen it live multiple times. Josh Wolf.
Yeah.
You got to come out. It's a fun night. And I see all the shows at the Comedy Castle, and yours is different. And it is better in so many ways. It is, people do leave feeling like not only did they see something great, but they got to know you, that you're a good person, that you made them feel better about themselves. It's really uplifting.
Yeah. You know what also is cool, man? I know, because I don't talk politics. The people who sit in my crowd span all over the spectrum politically and sitting right next to each other and laughing with each other, because I'm not talking about the things that are going to get them to argue with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, so, right. You know, I think that's really important to, you know, we start so many conversations now with what we disagree on. So of course they're going to be terrible conversations. Right.
Yeah.
But if that's not how it used to go, you used to just, you used to find out common ground first.
Right.
So then you could be like, oh, my friend, ooh, he thinks a little differently than me here, but I know he loves dogs, and I know he helps the homeless, and I know, or whatever, all these things. Yeah. I know that we do our kids' baseball team together, all these things that you agree on first.
Yeah.
As opposed to you start on the things that you know you're going to punch each other in the face about.
No, I think that's true. We agree on more things than we don't agree on. And
no doubt. Look, there's a percentage of the world you're just never going to like, which is okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
All right.
And those people get to run around in their own little areas. But most of us can find common ground. And so that, I'm hoping that my show is common ground of laughs.
Nice. Yeah. Well, it should be this weekend. It should be great. Now tell me about the Campfire Tour and the Campfire Special, the latest stand-up special that you released on YouTube.
Oh, there. Dude. So the special is maybe the most me any special, and it's unlike any comedy special you're going to see. Mm-hmm. I bring guests on to do it's about my last special before this was called Four Stories, which was just an hour and 10 minutes. And it was, I just told four separate stories. Mm-hmm. And so what I like to change it up, right. And that's how I stay interested.
Okay.
And this one's probably, I think it's an hour and 14. Mm-hmm. And I would guess it's probably 27 minutes of stand up.
Yeah.
And the other stuff is music and guests coming on. We have a parody country band called Hard Country that I'm the lead singer of. They do a couple songs. It is so much fun, dude. Like legitimately, when I was editing it, I was sitting there with the editor. I was like, he was like, man, if we can get it to 45 minutes, that'd be amazing. And we got it to an hour 14. I'm like, what else are we cutting? He was like, nothing.
Oh.
We just got to let it ride.
Yeah.
He said, like, this is all so good. And it is. It's a fun ride. And when the music starts, the energy just takes the fuck off. So, but I do. I have Trailer Trash Tammy comes on and does a bit with me. A guy named AJ Wilkerson does a bit with me. The two men in a band called Little Big Town. So Jimmy Westbrook and Philip Sweet. They're my other bandmates in the Hard Country band. It is. Jacob's there. Beth's there. It is a wild ride. And so the Campfire Tour is really just an extension of that.
Mm-hmm.
But starting in 2026, I'm changing the name of my tour. It made me laugh. Jacob and I were on a live, and somebody said, what are your tour dates like in 2026? And I told them, and I said, yeah, I'm touring hard. And I'm like, oh, that's the name of the new tour. Josh Wolf, touring hard.
All right. Yeah. Well, listen, we're looking forward to this one. Okay, so let me ask you this, because I think we talked about this last time, but it's been 2.5 years. Are you still doing comedy on mushrooms?
Yeah, every Friday Night Late Show. So if you're interested, that Friday Night Late Show this week will be the mushroom show. And it is, I will take 3 grams of mushrooms and see what happens. It's a good time. Definitely. Right. If you've never seen one, I have people who buy tickets for the Friday early show and the Friday night show.
Oh, wow.
Because it definitely gets changed up a little bit, but go. The Friday night, it's so much fun. But see, because I never know when the mushrooms are going to hit, what they're going to do. You know, the effects for me anyways with mushrooms vary so wildly.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it has to do with my mood or anxiety level or anything like that. So it is like, it's different than taking an edible and going on stage. It truly is like, oh boy, you know?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I've never done mushrooms. I don't know. I couldn't imagine, but,
you and your wife should come to that show.
We'll see if she's up for that one. I'm not sure what her plans are at the moment, but,
A lot of people microdose and go on stage. Okay. And I'm like, what's the point of that? You might as well take some CBD. Don't be a pussy.
Now, do you, let me ask you this, because, you know, I believe mushrooms, and maybe this has changed since you were here, are now legal, at least in some parts of Michigan or some towns. Mm-hmm. And we have mushroom stores that you can go in. Is that a thing you'll find one of a local mushroom place, or do you bring your own? How's that work?
Well, I'll tell you where mushrooms have always been legal, and that's my house. So I bring them from my house.
I got you.
You know, I trust me. I trust,
Yeah. Well, like that.
Every weekend though, somebody in the Q&A will be like, where'd you get your mushrooms? I'm like, you want me to talk to you about my drug dealer? Feels irresponsible, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm assuming people must, cause I see this with other comedians that come to the club, must be like, Hey, I got this bag for you.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That must never
weed and mushrooms.
Yeah.
Like when I was in Seattle, there was this dude who gave us a pound of weed.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, here you go. And I was like, what if I fly with this?
Yeah.
I ended up flying with it.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what my thinking was.
Okay.
If I get busted with a pound of weed, mm-hmm. it's gonna be the best thing that ever happened in my career. And if I don't, then I'll just have a pound of weed. So it was like a win-win, you know?
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. There was a guy, I won't say the guy, but you look at our calendar and figure it out. The weed showed up before the comedian, meaning the dispensary guys were lined up with bags, you know, like shopping bags full of product that they were like, hey, can we leave this for him? Are we going to see him? Can you put this in the green room? So when he gets here, it was unbelievable.
Well, they better be lining up when we get there.
I had no pressure, weed folks.
Yeah, let's get into this.
Yeah, if you work at a dispensary, you know somebody that does, and you're listening to this, let's have some samples at the Comedy Castle.
Yeah.
You leave them with Joel, you leave them with me, I'll take care of it. I'll make sure they go to the right place.
Yeah, listen. I would encourage it.
All right.
We'll give you all the shout outs you need. I'm looking for edibles. Jacob's looking for smoke.
There you go.
There you go.
That's it. Come on, guys. Show up, Michigan. Show up. Bring the weed. Bring the mushrooms. Bring it all. I don't know.
Yeah. Listen, I am not going to say bring acid, but people have.
Okay. It's happened.
It's happened.
Acid happens. I get that. My goodness, man.
We filled in my, basically checked all my drug boxes, acid, mushrooms, weed.
Yeah, right.
Oh, and every now and then ketamine. But besides that, I'm sober.
Absolutely. But it's funny to have this conversation now. And I think if this was even 10 years ago, and we were having this discussion, whether, you know, on the podcast, trying to promote a weekend of comedy, people would be outraged. Isn't that weird?
Do you think so?
I think so. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, for sure.
Maybe, especially talking about mushrooms.
Yeah. I think the people are now realizing that people can use drugs recreationally and people can use drugs to actually help them. The benefits of some of these medicines people are finding, and that it's not, you know, we all have like some, you know, 70-year-old aunt who's used an edible and enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's the truth. Everything in moderation, I think, is fine.
Right.
But can you keep it moderate?
Mm-hmm.
And most of us with drugs can't.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Well, you seem to be doing all right. I don't know. Best I can
appreciate
tell.
It, dude.
From here, it looks all right.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I'm holding it together.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I haven't, you know,
you're not Andy Dick, you know, you're doing.
No, dude, I haven't missed any payments or, you know, I'm keeping it all together. I'm still married. My kids still like me, you know, all that stuff. I may, you know, forget appointments every now and then.
Right.
Or not know where my keys are. So I just decide not to leave the house. Yeah. But that seems like normal human stuff.
Sure, absolutely.
Don't you think?
That could be getting older. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That's. Oh, by the way, also, you know what else I've really leaned into, and I've always done this my whole life, but really leaned into as I've gotten later. I try to act as stupid as I can, so people have really low expectations. And so then if I do say something kind of smart, they're like, it gets amplified. It's like if you go to a movie and you think it's going to suck. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. You actually think it's better than it is. So the same thing, if you're like, this dude's really stupid, and I say something semi-smart, they're like, he's like a genius, you know?
Yeah. Wow. That's life advice right there from Josh Wolf.
You're welcome.
I like it. Dude,
you're welcome.
Well, listen, man, this weekend's going to be a blast. I'm so looking forward to it. I'll see you there. I want to see the weed folks. I want to see everyone show up. Come on, $25 tickets, or you can even spend more, sit a little closer. Whatever you want, but it's a fun wherever you are.
It's a good time, I promise.
It is a good time, and I'm endorsing it as well. Josh, thanks for talking to me today, man. It should be a fun weekend.
You got it, dude. Okay. I appreciate you. Good talking to you.
Absolutely.
And I'll see you this weekend.
See you Thursday. All right, man. Take care, Josh.
Later.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, what a pleasure to speak to TJ Wari about his big show next week. Come on, TJ, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Joel? How's it going, everybody? Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Going great, man. Another appearance at the Comedy Castle for you coming up.
Oh, I can't wait. It's my favorite club in the entire world.
Did we talk before your headline appearance?
Yeah, last time.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it's your second time on the show. I'm like, man, this is so fun to talk to TJ on the show. And it's like, we talked on the show already.
It's so cool to get to be on it, once. Now a second time. This is great.
The thing is I try not to repeat myself with, you know, stories that we maybe told the first time. We maybe don't want to go through those. So I'm trying to, maybe I'll have to look at my guide. Because the other thing is that when you're in town and you're at the club, you and I spend a good amount of time just shooting the shit anyway.
Yeah. Yep.
So I mean, then it's
as
like,
you do.
Yeah. So it's like, where does my private conversations and the podcast, where do those collide? Don't know. But we got, you know, the night before Thanksgiving, that's always a fun night. Big bar night.
Excited for that. Yeah. It's Clawson is known for, I'm originally from Clawson.
Yeah.
Clawson's known for the bar crawl on Thanksgiving Eve. Hopefully some of those people can pregame at our show and then and then go and do whatever.
The show
obliterated in Clawson.
Show would be over around 9 o'clock and then they're off.
Yeah, at 9 o'clock you can't even get Clawson drunk before 10, so might as well.
Right, you know, you'd be down at the I'm trying to think what the big Clawson bar is now. I couldn't even tell you.
Oh, that's they got Tavern Main, they got Renshaw's, they got the Hideout.
Yeah, that's where the drugs hang out, the Renshaw.
Darren McCarty used to hang out at the Hideout.
Oh, okay.
Detroit Red Wings legend Darren McCarty used to.
When I was a single man, I took a Tinder date to the Hideout.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it didn't go well.
Well,
I don't know how much of that was the Hideout or how much of that was me, but you know.
She must not have been from Clawson.
No, I don't think she was. I think that was too, what was the thing? It was too down market for this lady.
There you go. Good pull.
I don't know. Market. But yeah, you know, so that Clawson, yeah, they'll come out. It's awesome. Yeah,
hopefully so. Hopefully
they,
so.
They came out last time. You were telling me before we turned the mics on.
Oh my word. Yeah, the Saturday show last time was just insane. It was like a Clawson reunion. I loved it. The people that I don't even remember, honestly.
I don't think my high school friends have ever come to see me ever do anything. I think they're, I think they saw enough of me then, or they didn't see it. They don't even know who I am. I think there's a chance of that too. I don't know.
Honestly, you make a good point. I'm wondering why anybody would want to see me after high school.
You were apparently a popular fella in high school.
Not at all. Oh, my word.
Look, I was surprised by that statement, too. Don't get me wrong.
We didn't exactly know about autism the way that we do now, and I had no idea back then. And I don't know. I loved SNL. Remember they had Ray Swirsky, like the Bears, and it got to be where I just kind of replaced my regular lexicon with bear symbols, and I just drove people absolutely nuts with it. My mom, like everybody at school, teachers, other students.
Yeah, that was it. Had it in your head. You were bound for comedy. That was the thing.
At least now I have my own material.
Yeah.
I might repeat it, but it's something I came up with.
Well, look, it's you're doing quite well for yourself.
I'm trying.
You're funny. You're great. You put on a great show. It's awesome.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words.
I know. I'm looking back on the last interview we did, and we talked about how we met, which was awkward. I knew other people can go listen to that one.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a guest today. I'm a guest tonight. Oh, you're a chubby guy with a beard. I'm a chubby guy with a beard. Oh, fuck. And then we ended up being buddies.
That was also Thanksgiving Eve. Like,
was it really Thanksgiving? Yeah, my brother was in town, and that's why I did the guest set with Dave Land.
Yeah.
Short version of the story.
But anyway. Yeah, so that's, I've been thinking about that.
How many years has that been? 10 years?
Yeah, I think it was like 2015.
I mean, yeah, it could have been.
I think it was like 2015.
Wow. Time flies.
Oh, shit. My dog got loose.
Yeah. So tell me about this. Your concern as you sit here and speak to us today on this show. You got a dog down. He's got a bad wheel. Tell everybody what's going on with the pup.
My dog tore his ACL a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did he do? What was he doing to tear an ACL?
They were my two dogs were chasing each other in the house, and my dog just kind of cashed out and spun out and came up limping, which is a common occurrence. These dogs play hard, but then he kept limping, and so we had to take him in and torn ACL out for the season.
He's on IR.
Yeah,
he'll be on the sideline most Sundays.
We're expecting him to be a contributor next season.
Oh God! So, what is the current dog lineup in the household? Has that changed, or has that been consistent?
We just got Frank recently. And then tore his ACL. So he's a true lion. We like to get him injured. Right away.
Play hard and go on the shelf. That's the Dan Campbell way.
Exactly.
We're gonna play so hard, we'll rip our limbs off.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, we got Frank. He's supposed to be four. He's a big headed Boston Terrier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just cracked 30 pounds.
Nice.
And then we got another 25 pound little girl Boston Terrier, Clementine. Mm-hmm. She's been ours since she was a COVID puppy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And she didn't like him at first, and now they love each other.
Yeah, that's kind of play. Yeah, we're two dogs for 8 months now with our second dog, Cleo, who is a little Shih Tzu girl who likes getting her own way, likes beating up the big old Yorkie poo brother, Baxter, and pulls on his ears.
Yeah, I love the power dynamic from the little ones and the big ones.
The little one kind of bullies the big one, and the big one can fight back and could destroy this little dog, but he doesn't. He cries and whines and jumps on our laps. And it's kind of weird, but it is what it is. Our groomer said, as we took them both in for groom, the groomer lady said to me, she goes, Baxter's ears have a lot of scar tissue on them. So that's how it's going. Even the groomer could tell that his ears are taking a beating. His big floppy ears. But
we don't have any vicious fights like that.
No, they don't do. What's? I don't know. It's vicious. She thinks of him as another chew toy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they both see me that way, but not each other, I guess. I guess maybe they have like a mutual respect amongst dog things or something like that.
Well, the Bostons don't have a lot of stuff to grab onto, maybe, right?
That's fair. Limbs. Yeah.
The Yorkie Poo's got all kind of hair and ears and beards and mustaches and all kind of stuff hanging off him.
They're very expressive dogs.
Your Boston's?
Yorkie Poo.
Yeah, my Yorkie dogs. Poo. He's a cool looking dog. Yeah. The sweetie pie that he was left outside with a lady. It was a whole thing.
You don't have kids, do you?
No.
Yeah, see?
That's how we roll.
Right. We're doing it the right way. Yeah. We're doing it the right way, I feel.
Well, that could change soon. Not announcing anything. It just could happen.
No?
It just could happen.
Best of luck if that's what you want.
Yeah, well, if that's what she wants.
I
want what she wants, and if that's what she wants. Look, I'm sure I'd love having a kid, but, you know.
Yeah.
The expense, can I afford that on a podcaster salary? I don't know.
It sounds like you're ready for a long, happy marriage. Yeah. You have the right attitude.
I'm locked into whatever the hell she wants.
Exactly.
There was family stuff that we had to do this week, her family. And I go, you just tell me what I'm doing. That was the kind I just was sort of like, you know. She's like, I know it's your one night off this week, you know, because I'm at the club 6 nights a week, a lot of these weeks. And she's like, I know it's your one night off, but this aunt is in from Australia and she's never here. And it's your one day off. I go, just tell me what we're doing. Tell me when we're going. I'm not going to fight over my one day off and I want to stay home. Just going to go.
That's hilarious.
We went. We visited the aunt from Australia.
You have to. I mean, that's your duty as a husband. So, my wife is a professor at the University of Illinois, fully tenured, like one of the top faculty, one of the top researchers in her field. And I'm a comedian. We're very much, you know, not the same. And so this past weekend, I had to do sets both Friday and Saturday night. She had she was recruiting a student Friday, and then there was a faculty dinner Saturday.
Yeah.
And those are two situations where I don't fit in at all. Like Saturday night, I was the only one in the room that didn't have a PhD.
Oh.
And like waiting for topics of conversation where I actually could offer something and not sound stupid or few and far between.
Yeah.
It's interesting being arm candy in that kind of situation.
Yeah. Being sort of socially, I don't know. It's sort of like, I think people just don't know if you're a comedian, how to even speak to you. And then when they do, you almost wish they wouldn't have anyway, in a lot of cases, because you know people aren't.
The pressure, like you start talking, you know, oh, he's going to be funny. And then everybody looks at you. It's like,
yeah.
All right, I'll try to work a line in here somewhere.
Yeah. I saw my my Uncle Vince the other day. Nice guy. You know, 80 years old almost. Uncle Vince. 75, something like that. And Uncle Vince, nice guy, Italian guy, you know, Fragamenti's Italians, came over on the boat, good people. And he goes, this guy is doing Italian comedy, this new guy, and he's so good. Why don't you do more jokes about being Italian? I said, okay, this new guy. I said, oh, yeah, we had this TikTok guy at the club last week. Maybe that's the guy you're thinking of. No, I don't know if that. I give him the guy's name. I don't know. That's him. He goes, he's new. He's Sebastian something. Sebastian Maniscalco. And they're like, yeah, he's been around for 20 years. Yeah, that guy. He's...
It's not bad
new
advice.
Guy. Well, that's
I guess
how he.
To be
well,
more
if you're Sebastian them, well, and I told him, I go, Sebastian Maniscalco is a very talented comedian. I've watched him; he's funny. It's not what I'm doing, and he's also been doing that thing for 20. That's how long it takes for 75-year old people to figure out who the hot new comic is.
I feel 75, honestly.
Well,
that,
look.
That makes me feel it.
But, you know, so they're trying to talk to me about comedy, and it's like, oh, God. You know. But
well, at least he didn't tell you to be, you know, there's other people he could have told you to be like.
And then I had another cousin at this thing say, there was a big comedy thing downtown last week. Were you part of that? That's all I got. Big comedy thing downtown. Was I part of that? And I have to interpret this. Now, you're not in Detroit. So, we're talking last weekend.
Okay.
Not ringing any bells for you, probably. Okay. So, let me talk this out. This is how I approach
it. Yeah. Oh, I'm in.
I go, what happened last week? And I go, okay, big downtown. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, and I know this. And then I was able to work my way into this. You tell me if this is good or not. I go, Matt Rife was at the Little Caesars Arena. And my cousin goes, Yeah, Matt Rife was there, but wasn't there a local guy? And I go, as a matter of fact, my friend Paul Elia was Matt's opening act that night at Little Caesars Arena. And he goes, oh, wow, that's so cool. There you go. So a comedy event happened that a cousin who knows nothing of this thing and I could have some tangential relationship to it. Not bad.
I can't believe I didn't know Matt Rife was in town. Because I'm friends with most of the women I went to high school with.
Yeah, well, there you go. I didn't hear about this. This is a male cousin who just said, I heard there was a big thing downtown. One of the guys, when I see Paul Elia, I'm going to be like, my cousin was at least aware of you. Cousin was aware that you were there. But this thing, you got to tell everybody, because you not living in Detroit, when you come back, you got to tell everybody, because who knows what your next, you know, where else are they going to see you?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So usually a bunch of people turn out.
Let's hope so. And they got one shot. So there's no, I was going to go Thursday and then I said, no, I'll go Friday. And then Friday came and I said, I'll go Saturday. And then Saturday was sold out and I didn't come. That's what they'll tell you.
No Dream Cruise up against this time.
Was it Dream Cruise week when you were here last?
Dream Cruise, yeah. Last year, Dream Cruise week.
Yeah.
I had a blast.
Yeah, I mean, Dream Cruise, I think people, especially people who live, I mean, as a Clawson person, I live in Ferndale. The Dream Cruise is just another thing you do, and it's you can deal with Dream Cruise.
Yeah.
You know, I think some people really go, like, people who come maybe from somewhere else and they have to figure out where they're going to park if they want to be part of the Dream Cruise.
Yeah.
I think it's a complete nightmare. I mean, people that live around here might think it's a nightmare too, but it's also just that's another weekend. Well, that's a weekend we won't hang out on Woodward. We'll just go somewhere else.
I delivered pizzas for the Domino's on Woodward, so it was a little different for me. And you couldn't call off Dream Cruise. Oh, my word.
You couldn't. Yeah. Okay. But you had to take the pies through the Dream Cruise.
Yes. Nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
Yeah, I guess
so. I despise the Dream Cruise.
All right, you got it. Okay, fair enough. Again,
but it was a great weekend. Would do it again? No, without a question. That was so much fun.
Don't say that, because then Bill's going to book you for the Dream Cruise weekend.
I'll take it. I had fun.
You want a good March weekend.
Yeah, well.
Good Thanksgiving.
One day.
November weekend.
One day. I worked myself up there one day.
You'll get there. So where else you been in comedy? Where's that taking you?
We recently moved to Urbana. It's been a lot getting everything situated here with the dogs and everything. But
I lose track. What was the town before Urbana? Where were you living then?
We spent 8.5 miserable years in Lafayette, Indiana.
Okay.
And then Boise, Idaho before that. So working our way up. Urbana's great.
Urbana is that Chicago? Where is Urbana exactly? I don't know.
2 hours south of Chicago. That's okay. Where University of Illinois is. That's why we're here.
All right. So that's like central Indiana.
Central Illinois.
Illinois.
Central Illinois. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That seems all right.
Yeah. I love it here. It's Illinois Ann Arbor.
No, okay, yeah, of course. Well, college town. Why not?
I'll take that. Absolutely. Really nice club here too.
Yeah. What's the club in Urbana?
There's a club just outside Urbana. There's a club called Yellow & Co. Events. Yellow & Co. Comedy Club now.
Okay.
Doing comedy, I think, 3 weeks a month.
Mm-hmm.
And amazing turnouts.
Nice.
The club is fantastic.
That's great.
I've never had a club where I live, or not since Boise. So it's really nice to have a place to practice when I'm at home.
Absolutely. Do you produce in anything comedy-wise? Putting on any shows?
I'm in the planning stages of a festival here. Probably shouldn't announce it, but there will be a festival here.
There will be.
A couple venues.
Nice.
I produced a festival when I was in Lafayette and another one when I was in Boise, so it's just kind of something I guess I do. So
yeah, and you enjoy that? That's all right, or is it too much? I mean, it's a lot of work. I know from people that do it here.
It's a lot of work, but there has to be a festival here, so someone's going to do it.
There has to be one. Willing this into existence.
That's in comedy. That's kind of how you have to do it, especially in a small town.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to do it. And then they go, you have to believe in it and then hope that people show up. And then, you know,
they do
until they don't. And then you do something else.
They do until they don't.
They do until they don't. But that's true. Right. I mean, I've played enough places over the years where I just remember wall to wall crowds. I just remember, oh, my God, that place was jam packed. And I don't remember the bad weeks, but they certainly would have bad weeks, some of these clubs. But, you know, a lot of comedy clubs that I've found historically, it's not even about the numbers. It's not even about, well, people stop coming. There's money going out the door in other ways, or they're attached to some other business that failed, or the guy just wants to divest himself of things, and it wasn't a real desirable thing to sell, so... Yeah.
Or the owner doesn't like comedy, the idea of comedy.
the owner not like, well, usually the owner, it certainly, I have found that owners who like comedy are way more successful than owners that don't like comedy.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if that's just because, well, hey, we're not doing great with this right now, but I love it and I like to have it here. And it can be my... a sort of passion thing, and I can go watch this and it brings me joy. Maybe those that is owners. More helpful than guys who are like never at the club, you know, guys who are, you know, just not even, don't even know who you are. I mean, that'd be the worst. You walk into a club and like the owner's there and like, they don't even know who you are. Like, come on.
It's almost every time I walked into a club.
But I mean, like, you know, even like, did you ever meet him? No, I've never met him. I've been here 27 times. And it's not like, you know, I mean, look, Mark Ridley, people say, well, I haven't met Mark Ridley, but Mark knows who you are because Mark watches all the shows and he's booking and he's doing all that stuff. And I probably had some communication with Mark at some point, but there are people who are, you know, I've never spoken to, never talked to on the phone, and I'd be at their club for the 17th time. Yeah. Like, what the hell's with these guys? And then of course it goes away.
Yeah. You're absolutely right about Mark. The first time I met him, I felt like we were old friends.
Yeah, absolutely. You should. He knows who you are. He knows what you do on stage, and he's a fan of it. And if you're there, if you're there, he likes you. You know.
Thank you.
Well, if you're not there, maybe he doesn't like you.
I hadn't even thought about it that way, but if you're there,
he likes you. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
I mean, Mark also is a business guy. Mark is like, well, you know, if they sell tickets, and you know, this guy, you gotta. I know it's not great. Kind of hold your nose, dude. That he never said that, but I think that's sort of that attitude too, is you just kind of, especially nowadays with, you know, people headlining shows, you know, TikTok people.
Yeah.
They'll headline shows, and it's like, I mean, we had a TikTok person not that long ago at the club, and I was talking to this guy, and I've been doing stand-up for a year and a half, he told me. I mean, and he sounded like a guy who's been doing comedy for a year and a half. And, you know, the audience, I think, I don't know, they bought tickets. I don't know if they liked it. Didn't talk to him after.
Whatever floats your boat, I guess. I mean, well, it's good for clubs if that kind of thing exists.
Yeah, absolutely.
For off nights.
But it's also a thing where people want to see you and just, like, take a picture with you. You know, they just want to say they went and they took a picture with that guy who they've watched on their phone. They're making that real. There's something about that psychologically, to take something from your phone and manifest it into real life. And when you go and see somebody like that, that's a thing that happens. But as far as the show being good, I don't know if they don't care.
Well, I mean, what better, honestly, as a performer?
Yeah.
I mean, I put a lot of pressure on myself to make the crowd laugh.
Yeah.
But if you're the kind of person that you don't care and you just, you know, I mean, what a mentally freeing.
Well, TJ, look, you have spent years making yourself a great comedian, and none of that matters. It's completely inconsequential to the reason people show up.
I wish that wasn't true.
Well, I'm exaggerating. We're having fun. Slightly. But yeah, I mean,
come slightly, on. No.
A little bit. But yeah, I mean, if you were some, You know, if you had some TikTok or you were doing hot takes on stuff or whatever you do, you know, there you go. That can be a thing. That can be a reason people want to show up. Yeah, that we people think we know why people want to show up, but if you actually look for who people show up for, it's usually not that reason.
So you're telling me that I just don't talk enough shit is basically what it is. And if I start having some hot
I don't even know. I couldn't even. But that's the thing, too. You know, once people do a thing and get famous for it, you can't also be the guy that does that thing.
Yeah.
Because then you're not original. You got to somehow just do something stupid and hope people like it. And
that seems like a lot of work.
I know. And then it's like you have to feel stupid doing the thing that's stupid.
And I feel stupid enough as it is. So.
Well, you shouldn't feel stupid. You got a great career. You got a great life. You're doing all right, my friend.
I appreciate that. Well, yeah. I mean, being married to a PhD, you're never
absolutely
gonna feel,
your wife's amazing. Know. Come on now. Yeah. And she supports your comedy, it seemingly, at least.
She sure does.
Yeah, she's giving you shit about it. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, she sure does. Yeah, she turned out a bunch of people. I headlined the club here last week, and she turned out 65 people.
That's awesome.
It was
I
all
know.
Faculty.
I know. We did my student showcase a couple weeks ago, and my wife brought a table of like 8 people to
That's
see
awesome.
The students. And then, of course, I was sort of had a little, you know, gun to my ribs to do a set that night, and I did. Because I don't normally perform at my students, but I will in a pinch. And she goes, look, if you perform, I'm bringing 8 people. If you don't perform, maybe not.
Well, how supportive is that? Not only is she offering to turn out people, but only if you perform.
Only if I perform. Only if you perform.
That's a good life right there.
Show up. Yeah. It's like, oh, no, these are my students. You'll enjoy these people. I've worked with them for 6 weeks in this class, and they're all different, and I got special guests. Nah, we want to see you go up there and do your thing. So I did. It was fine. But she brought people. Again, that supportive wife, man. You know, absolutely. She's out there in the workforce. You know, my friends are comedians. You know, you tell them I got a show. Watch their eyes glaze over. That's what they want to see.
Exactly. Well, plus, as a teacher, your students are basically your children. And so if your wife is there to support you as your showing your children the right way to do things, then you don't need to have children yourself.
Yeah, there you go.
You constantly have a new set of children that you need to. Like, how are your own children going to have?
That's right. A rotating, panel of children that you Shanghai into coming to your shows. It's the key to comedy success with TJ Worry.
Panel of rotating children in today's political climate might not be the best way.
I mean,
to sell that, but
You doing anything political in the act nowadays?
I talk about supporting my wife, supporting women, and you know, stuff like that, which has become political. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I try not to divide the crowd too much.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I think people now, though, are starting to feel like, you know, there's parts of what's going on in America that no one can agree with.
Yeah,
you know, people talk about the price of, you know, I went to the grocery store and left my left nut there and picked up my groceries. You know, whatever, you know, people like that kind of a thing is a thing that you see people across the spectrum agreeing with at this point. Yeah, you know,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a tough time.
I should get more political, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, I always think when I say to my students, and then I'm like, well, if you say what people are thinking, they're going to laugh at it.
Yep.
And if people are, you know, whatever, if they feel that this political situation is dire or it's ridiculous or something happened, then you shouldn't worry about offending people because that's what they're thinking about. But what do I know?
Yeah.
As a guy who doesn't do politics.
When I started out in Boise, it was a very, very, very conservative area. And there were a couple of leftist comics that would openly talk about taking people's guns away on stage. And they did really well with it.
Oh, wow.
In a place where like guns are legal to bring on campus at universities and high schools.
Yeah. Jeez.
Did well.
Yeah, Idaho.
It was inspiring, but then I was like, well, that seems like a lot of work to get to where you can talk about something that the people you're talking to hate and still enjoy it.
Yeah, that's when you're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when you're good, when you can make people who don't agree with you, at least for the moment, laugh and acknowledge that, hey, that's funny, even if, you know, I'm not voting with you, but hey, that was good.
Yeah. My problem, I started stand-up because I had a crazy life that I needed to try to figure out how to put in words. And so I'm still, you know, it took a long time to where I felt like I was good enough to do some of these stories justice. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm trying to get those stories out. And then
you're still
maybe
mining.
When I feel like I've, when I feel like I've exhausted everything interesting about myself, then mm-hmm. I'll branch out into talking shit about politics.
Are you still mining your youth? Are you still coming up with stories that you hadn't told on stage yet and finding a way to make that into stand-up?
It seems like, you know, all the time I'm like telling a story to my wife. I feel like, you know, we've been together, it'll be 23 years this, the night of the show, 23 years. And I feel like I've told her every story like 80 million times, but every once in a while, like, oh, you should tell that on stage. I'm like, really? Yeah. And then sure enough, she's right. So
she's right. There you go, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Speaking of, you know, you mentioned Dave Landau earlier. That's his whole book is about being dumb shit he did as a kid.
I didn't hear the first
part. He's got a whole book out now. That's basically that.
Who's this?
Dave Landau.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't read the book yet.
I haven't either, but I mean, that is the thing that he's doing. And of course, he's told so many of these stories as part of his stand up over the years. And, you know, Dave's, you know, definitely being like, hey, I was this, you know, troubled boy and just had these things that, you know, when you tell them as a responsible adult now, you know, they're hilarious. Yeah. But at the time, weren't really funny to anyone.
His White Castle story was very relatable to me.
The White Castle story, absolutely, all of those things.
Yeah, the first time I saw him on TV, he told that story. I was like, oh, wow. This is, I reached out to him, asked if I could open for him like that night.
That was it? That was the origin of that?
Yeah, and so he let me open for him at the club in Boise.
Nice.
And then he's like, well, I'm going to be doing shows at the Castle. You want to come do a guest spot?
Nice. There you go.
And so did my first guest spot, you know, Thanksgiving Eve 2015, I think.
All right. There you go. Well, there it is. Comes full circle. That's and then you ran into me.
Exactly.
And
none of it would have happened if you hadn't told the story about throwing cheeseburgers at people at an undercover.
Throwing cheeseburgers at an undercover cop. Not, what was the line he says? Not legal tender for not prostitution.
Technically money?
Not technically, yeah.
Cheeseburgers are not technically money. Something like that.
Something like that. He does it better than we do, but that's great.
Absolutely.
Oh,
but
man.
Yeah, if it hadn't been for that. Yeah. I never threw cheeseburgers at an undercover cop. But
there's still time.
That's a good point.
All right, you come back to Detroit in addition to the Comedy Castle. Where else are you going? Where are you visiting? What do you miss? Where do you want to go? Where do you go?
The day I get there, on the way in, every single time there's a place in Canton. There's another one in Ann Arbor called Pancheros.
Okay.
It's a burrito place. I fell in love with it in college. And any opportunity that I get to get it, I can get it. So
there you go.
When I get there, the day I get there and the day I leave, I'll get that.
Nice.
I still love Hungry Howie's. I got to get that every time.
Okay, because you know, you're not getting Hungry Howie's in Urbana. I take it. Yeah.
I did Lafayette for a couple of years. Yeah, and then
I was
going to
say,
under,
yeah, so. They've spread out of Detroit, but not that far. Okay, Hungry Howie's. All right. We'll let that one slide, but okay, Hungry Howie's.
Hey, Hungry Howie's, get the Cajun sesame crust, get it a little extra well done. It's really good that way.
Hungry Howie's definitely does things. You know, they do stuff different, but I don't know that I like their... I like what they're doing.
No. If you're away from it long enough, you might find that you actually crave it. Yeah, I think that's what happened to me.
That absolutely could be the case. That is Hungry Howie's, the default Dave the manager buys his pizza at the Comedy Castle for the staff and really doesn't give a shit. That's the official pizza for that when that happens.
Fair enough.
Yeah, go in the back. There's Hungry Howie's and we're like, oh, fuck. Just universally, the staff is like, oh, God, really? This again? All right. You know, like it's a gesture, but not a maybe not the best one. Oh, man.
You're giving Hungry Howie's a little too much smoke.
I am. Well, you know,
for me to be Jets, but we can get Jets here.
You can get Jets there. Nice.
Yeah.
I auditioned to be in the Hungry Howie's commercials. I'll have you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They did not take me.
You would have made a pretty good Howie.
I think so. Well, it was like two guys working in it all. It was sort of like, I think it was really based on like The Office, sort of. That was kind of the vibe. And the guy that sort of got it and you know, kind of got a little popular doing it is a guy named PJ Jakos, an improv guy from Michigan, who I'm friends with now, who I've met and since become friends with. So
I think they made the wrong call on that.
I don't, you know, what can I tell you? There's still time. Let's do your next campaign, Hungry Howies. I'm a guy at work who shows up in the employee break room to find a Hungry Howie's pizza, and I'm delighted.
Exactly. I remember you telling me how much you love Hungry Howie's pizza.
Oh, yeah, like, well,
every
you know.
Opportunity you get.
Since that first night we met with Dave Landau, I've been talking nonstop about Hungry Howie.
I remember you were eating a slice on stage, and you're like, well, this is just so delicious.
Can't even
I wasn't
stop.
Planning on eating this, but there was I saw a slice backstage, and I couldn't help myself. This is delicious. Hungry Howie's pizza.
I ruined that microphone that night. I did, but it was worth it.
I remember walking on stage. It's like, wow, it smells like Hungry Howie's. this is insane. Is that? I didn't see until afterward that you're eating. I was like, wow, is that his natural aroma? He just naturally smells like Hungry Howie's.
Look, I'm sure Hungry Howie's are good people. I think they've donated pizza for charity functions at the club. So shout out to Hungry Howie's. Go get yourself some Hungry Howie's. You probably want it now. The audience people, you too. We know you're getting it.
My mouth is watering. Hungry Howie sounds good.
Well, you're like a week away from there. How long are you in town for when you get into town?
I think we're going to show up early and we're going to stay for quite a while.
Nice. All right.
University of Illinois is off next week and we're ready. I'm excited for it.
Should be fun, dude. And maybe we can get the dogs together outside of work.
Yeah, that sounds good. Hopefully so.
See if my shit's good. See if my shit's you'll get her ass beat by. Do the dogs come with you? Do they travel with you?
Everywhere we go.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. We're those kind of people.
That's okay. I like it. I dig it. Yeah. I wish I could take my relatives, not all that warm to having the dogs over as for a visit.
Neither are ours. Yeah. So then we just don't see them.
they're come anyway. Fuck you.
Yeah. Hey, it's a great excuse.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, you will say, if you don't take the dogs, I'm not coming.
Yeah, we've said that before. I mean, if we had children, nobody would do that. You know,
that's true.
If they're human children.
Yeah.
And so why you got to be racist against dogs?
All right, TJ. All right, man. Well, we're going to see you the night before Thanksgiving.
Want
everybody
wait.
To show up. Should be a fun
I
night. Good
wait.
Lineup too. We talked about a little before. I think before the mics were on, but it's a great lineup.
I can't wait to see them.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to see them. It's going to be a great show. I got some special stuff lined up. I'm really excited for it.
And I don't even know. I was actually going to kind of mention that before, and we tease it, but I don't even know what that is. But it's going to be great. I'm
excited.
I can't wait. All right, TJ. Well, good talking to you again, man. We'll see you next week.
Great talking to you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, bud. Bye-bye.
All right, take care.
All right, TJ. Always fun talking to my boy TJ Warrior. He's a good dude, man. He's fun to talk to. It takes him a while to get going. I know. He even said that afterward. But nah, TJ's super funny on stage. He's great. Love that guy. And that's how we signed off. You guys didn't hear it, but I say I love you, brother. He said I love you too, man. That makes you feel good. And Josh Wolf makes you feel good too. And again, that's why I do these interviews. You know, I try to give you a fresh one. Sometimes I got to pull an old one out of the archives. But for this week, I said, I like talking to these guys so much. Let's take the time. And you guys, as the audience, take your time to listen to these. Because again, you know, TJ's next week on Wednesday. And Josh, we've got those five shows this week with him. And again, that Late Show Friday, Mushrooms, Josh Wolf. Oh, my goodness. I'm not saying bring your own mushrooms and get high yourself, but I have a feeling that might happen. I don't know. Hopefully just do mushrooms and kind of just get a little catatonic, go into your own shell. Don't turn it into we don't want to turn it into a free for all on a late show Friday. Everyone on mushrooms, but it might happen. But you got to come out this weekend. Thanks to Josh. Thanks to TJ. Thanks to you guys for listening. I know I got a lot of nice feedback on the interview I did with Tim Finkel last week under the most horrible thing that could ever happen to you, loss of your child. And that'll be another thing this weekend on Sunday. We'll be at the memorial supporting Tim and his family and remembering the life of Ryder Finkel. So again, I put that information up in last week's post on comedycastle.com, how you can join Tim and his family if you want to remember the life of Ryder who touched so many. So, hey, thanks for listening this week. We'll catch you next week on the Comedy Castle podcast. Come out to the club. It's going to be a fun week, guys. We'll see you there. Bye-bye.